Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson. That's Paul Schultz. That's Constance Vinson. And nothing you're about to hear is true. How awesome would it be? Like after... So if you're watching this, you're seeing the unedited version, the live version, which we've never done before.
Seen by one. Oh, that's me.
That's you. Hey, check it out. Constance is online.
Hey.
Make a comment. Hey. We'll see if we can read it. And then we are also recording this in Audacity. Paul's going to go ahead and, you know, do his magic, edit it, put in music, crap like that. But it'd be cool so to watch this and play the edited version at the same time and try to see if they sync up.
If I have enough time.
They probably won't.
Lori Woodruff Cox and Scott Tolan are watching with you.
Hi, Lori Woodruff Cox.
Thank you.
Hi, Scott Tolan. Cheers.
Cheers.
We hope you're drinking because that's the only way you're going to like this. All right. So let's try to make this as normal of a show as we can. You let us know if anybody says anything so we can answer them.
Yes. I will. So am I like the Robin Quivers?
You're like
we've established that a while ago.
I hope you have some news ready.
That's right.
Because we got nothing to talk about right now. So they will have had, wait a minute, they are will going to have had heard the show that we recorded earlier this week.
Strunk and White.
They'll hear that later.
Burning.
So what I want to say is it's Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's African American Friday.
That's right.
And I just want to say, all Fridays matter.
All Fridays matter.
But how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you eat turkey?
Nope.
Oh, you can't eat turkey.
I can't eat turkey. No.
Oh, that's right.
What happens if you eat turkey?
I get hives.
And every once in a while, I'd like to get hives just to remember what they're like.
No, you don't. I'll send you pictures.
You know what gets a bad rap?
Mm.
Shingles. Because when I hear the word shingles, like immediately shit on a shingle comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking shingles is like this disgusting, like pus filled, like you smell like shit. You look like just terrible.
I think you do.
Now, you taste oddly delicious.
But I think of it as sort of like when you hear somebody got syphilis, right? It's like, ooh, shingles, ooh, or like leprosy.
Yeah.
But the hives is kind of like, ooh, it's the hives, like a good band.
Yeah.
You know? But shingles, nobody wants shingles.
No.
But everybody wants hives. I don't understand it.
But
Scott Tolan says, is this episode net neutral?
This episode is net neutral. Neutral net.
I'm more neutral good net.
No, actually it's not.
I just laughed at him.
It's not neutral, Scott, because what we've done is we've paid Comcast to give this episode more bandwidth than the reruns of the that show you and MP Cavalier used to do.
I'm just delighted he's listening. Is this what it takes?
This is what it takes. 144 episodes in, and we finally figured out how to get Tolan to listen.
Oh man,
that's funny. Did I tell you? I think I told you. So our listeners will hear this twice. I'm in the Kroger. Did I tell you? I'm in the Kroger. Yeah, I was on the phone with you. I'm in the Kroger the other day to get a birthday cake for
You're implying there's only one Kroger?
The Krogers.
Or it's the... Screw the other Krogers. This is the Kroger.
The Kroger.
So I'm in the Krogers the other day and just picking up. And this is over at Geist Crossing, right? Fall Creek and 79th, for those of you from Indianapolis. And I'm with my daughter, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if we have tea. So I call up Constance. I'm like, hey, do you need tea? Because everybody's coming over, and everybody drinks tea, and except for two of us who drink coffee. I'm like, do we have tea? And she's like, we have plenty of tea, but we don't have creamer. And I already gotten the creamer, which I was trying to explain to her, but I was having trouble explaining that I already gotten the creamer. I don't know why I didn't just say, I already got the creamer. You know how it is when you think of what to say afterwards? Like you go, yeah. Oh, I should have said. That's how it is. Like I'm like now going, well, I should have just said, well, I got the creamer. But I'm in the middle of telling her I got the creamer. And some dude comes up and just gives me a big bear hug while I'm on the phone. So I giggle like I always do when dudes give me bear hugs.
Like,
exactly. Very noble.
Well, you heard it. What did it sound like on your
end? He went, woo.
You know, like, what? What's going on?
This is apparently the Kroger.
Oh, that Kroger. Oh,
yeah, not the Kroger, that Kroger.
Well, it was one of those situations where, like, there was no context.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the phone with my wife. My daughter's standing right there. There's ice cream in the cart. And
it's melting.
It's melting. And somebody gives me a bear hug. And I look up. Dude has a beard. No hat. But curly hair. And I'm like, Constance is going, what's going on over there? I'm like, it's...
You're suddenly Liam Neeson.
I'm like, yeah. I have a very particular set of skills. You can let her go now, and this will be over. But if you don't, I will find you, and I will kill you.
That took a dark turn.
It was M.P. Cavalier, which you knew.
Yeah, I knew that story, yes.
Yeah. And we stood there and talked for a long time, and you get to hear the funniness I did with Paul about that meeting at the next show. That's a reason to watch the next episode.
That's right.
So... anyway, so my, that was.
This is like a big time warp loop thing because there's so many episodes in flux right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is actually the episode right now.
Yeah, this is the episode. this is like the Krogers.
This is where we.
It's like a weird time bending situation.
We're going to disappear in a cloud of logic pretty soon.
Is Tolan the only one talking to us? Or are
we yes, trying? He says, ha ha.
Oh, well, that's something anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, Thanksgiving, and there was a lot of, like on Facebook, a lot of people were talking about how they were dreading going home to their parents
mm-hmm.
because they're, this is mostly millennials, I have to say, because they're going, oh my God, they're so conservative and I have to go home and listen to
people that put us through college so we can get, you know, a degree in basket weaving.
Right.
Whoa.
Well, they should watch it. They're still on their parents' insurance. They need to watch it.
Yes. Hey, it's been well established, my love for millennials and their work ethic. So I figure I have room to that was use well. That.
I just want you to know the banging you hear on the table
is my hand.
Is your hand. and I have video proof.
Yes.
So so we get to the end of our Thanksgiving. We have our Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
right? And we get to the end of it. We're all sitting around at that part where you're supposed to fall asleep. And my dad just looks over and he goes, I just want to thank you. It was my mom. I get him confused. So my mom looks over.
Well, when you got the tryptophan, you know, running right, through your veins.
Just a haze. Like, she's 70, you're he's
drunk.
80.
Tryptophan haze. I was haze drunk
by that point.
All through my veins.
Oh. Skip Manhattan. Just give me that countryside. So she's like, thank you for not getting into politics. Because I just knew, I told Mike, well, I don't want to talk politics. I just want to have a nice family get together. I don't want to get into politics. And I was like, we never talk politics. We never sit around the table and talk politics. Smash cut. Went to Olive Garden tonight to celebrate my mom's birthday.
And was that your mom's choice?
It was my mom's
that's
choice.
That's like the national mom choice for restaurants. It was.
We tried to convince her to go somewhere nicer because there are several places in Michigan City that she doesn't know about.
Yeah. A
couple in New Buffalo.
But Olive Garden has that like kind of aesthetic to it that like... Older ladies like that. It's just, this must be what Italy right. looks like.
It's like who's the painter? The painter of light. That
oh yeah, Thomas Kinkade.
It's the Thomas Kinkade.
It's like the Nicholas Sparks of Italian restaurants. Yeah, if Nicholas Sparks and Thomas Kinkade got together
right.
to make a restaurant.
They went to Italy together. They came back.
Well, they didn't go to Italy together. They went to they went to the Italian section of Epcot Center.
Oh.
And said, oh, we need a restaurant like that. They said, you mean kind of like the Mexican restaurant we made after we went to Pilsen in Pilsen neighborhood in Chicago?
Chi-Chi's.
What was it? Where was I? Oh, smash cut to Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And Constance decided, well, we're talking about the tip and tipping. And I was like, this server, this waiter, and I hope he's listening. Because, yes, I'm talking to you.
I'm going to look at my fingers. They're still red. I'm going to sue you.
He did everything in the book that servers aren't supposed to do.
Oh.
First of all, he was surly in the beginning. Mm-mm. And we sit down.
It's not Ed DeBovics. What is he thinking?
I'm with my 80-year-old dad, my 70-year-old mom. Yes, it was about 3:45. And we're having dinner.
I assume.
So my dad's like, I'm like, what are you getting? He's like, oh, I always get that unlimited soup and salad. And I'm like, I don't see it on the menu anywhere. You should ask the guy when he comes around. Guy comes around. And my dad's like, so you got the, and he can't just ask straightforward questions, right?
Right.
Which is, I guess, where I get it. I got the, y'all got the soup and the salad and the salad and the soup. And he's like Bill Cosby all of a sudden. Like, yes, we do.
The jello pudding.
We have it. I mean, the unlimited. Do we have that? And the guy goes, well, at lunchtime, it's $6.99. But since it's dinner time, it's going to be more, probably around $10.99. And my dad's like, what? And the guy, and then the guy just walks away. And my dad goes, what? When's dinner time? Because it's 3:45. My dad's like, when's dinner time? And the guy turns around and looks at him and goes, now. It's like, that's when he blew it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he comes back later with the, first of all, he took our order. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get a little bit when this happens, when somebody else brings the food. Mm-hmm. But the guy that took our order brought the food and still didn't remember who got what and apparently didn't write it down. Who got the kids, whatever? It's like probably one of the kids. And he goes, so the pizza. And he's like, here you go. And we're in a booth. Simone's sitting way over there. Constance is here. And he hands the plate to Constance. First clue should have been, I didn't notice this. He had a towel, like a napkin, like wrapped on the thing. He's like, hands it to her. Mm-hmm. She takes it. Oh. She's like, what? It was like, man, hot as hell.
Wait. Waiting tables 101. Regardless of the temperature, you always tell them the plate is hot.
Whether it's
always.
Hot or not.
Always. Whether always. It could be a bowl of ice cream.
Yes. It could be lukewarm. Oh, it's hot. Mm-hmm. It never is, mm-mm, most likely. Mm-mm.
So then Constance got the, what did you get?
Carbonara, something got like the shrimp and chicken carbonara.
Because it's got the pasta, the other shaped pasta with the other protein and some kind of sauce.
Cheesy sauce. Yeah.
And he goes, here's. She's like, oh, thank you. What? What a son of a bitch.
What the hell?
It's like hot as hell. My mom's like, on a Sunday morning.
On a Sunday morning.
Even though it's Friday.
On Black Friday.
So anyway, we get in this, I'm like, dude's not getting a very good tip. And my dad's like, he's probably still going to make a bunch of money. You know, he's turn him and burn him. He wants to get us out of here.
Yep.
So he can keep making money. And Constance is like, well, they don't make enough money. They should be paid more than the $2.35 minimum. It's just not right. And I don't remember anything after that. Because I went into another state. Next thing I know, my dad and I are arguing about the merits of socialism versus capitalism. So I'm in the booth, right? Imagine I'm in the booth here. Uh-huh. My 12-year-old sitting here. My dad's sitting here. That's the open end of the booth that way, right? Uh-huh. And my dad's sitting here. And he's like, well, I mean, you don't get what I'm trying to say. You're just not, you're not listening. It's just, I would start to go, well, let me explain. And he'd go, whoa, I know what you're going to say. I mean, I know not to interrupt.
I brought you in this world.
But I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that if people can't find a good job, that we should just take them out and shoot them. And I'm like, well, that's not what I was going to say. That's a good idea, but that's not what I was going to say. But the problem was, I'm on the inside of the booth. He's on the outside of the booth.
Yeah.
I'm trapped. And everybody else, we were done. Yeah. We put the food in the boxes. We got the boxes into the bag, paid the check, signed it off. Everybody's done. That side of the booth had already slid out and put their coats on. They're standing there watching this. I'm trapped in here like, can we walk and talk? Can we? He's like, no, I want to live. And he's like making his point or whatever. And I was like, okay, fine. You're right. I didn't think about it that way. Thank you for pointing that out. He's like, all right. And then we got up and left. But I was like getting claustrophobic.
You turned into like the worst version of Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving. Yeah. Where everybody's pointing and talking. But everybody's waving fingers and yelling.
That's why they call it Black Friday.
That's right. But then the discussion continued in our car.
Mm.
Maybe there, no, not in
it
their
did
car.
Continue in our
it
car.
It continued in our car. And then we get home. Then we're all together. And then you guys picked it up again.
Then we picked it up again. We went for a good, but Elizabeth agreed. My 12-year-old agreed with me.
As well she should.
Yeah. And so when we got home, the first thing she said to my dad was, D.D. was right. And then we did that thing where we figured out that what he was saying was apparently not even close to what I thought he was saying. And what I was saying was nowhere close. We actually agreed with each other on the points we were trying to make.
Well,
but we were talking past each other.
The problem is now that you're your father's age,
yeah,
you don't hear so well.
What?
So the two of you are yelling at each other, anticipating what the other person is saying. So you're having like two different arguments.
So I don't know what the last part of what you said, because I wanted to make this point. My dad is the best at this.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My dad projects that he's not listening.
Yeah.
Most people will make an effort and be like this, even though like they're they know, like they're already forming their counter argument in their head, but they're at least doing this.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, the second I say something that he disagrees with and wants to make a counter argument about, he goes, and he looks off a different direction. He makes that little smirky look on his face. I'm like, I might as well stop talking because he's not hearing a word I'm saying. I'm saying this for posterity's sake, I guess.
I always got a kick out of when we were kids and I'd call your house and your dad would always answer. And your dad always answered like whoever was on the other end of the line was interrupting whatever he was doing. He was annoyed.
Which was watching Gunsmoke.
And he's like, nope, I don't know. Okay, I'll tell him bye. And I hang up going, why does he always keep the phone so close by him if he hates answering the phone? Yeah. Put it over by your mom, because then I would at least get, like, information.
Hello.
You know? But no, he's always like, okay, all right, bye, click. But that's like the onion joke about what I saw around Father's Day, where it was like, you know, the headline was like, father answers phone and immediately passes phone off to wife. It's like, okay, happy Father's Day, all right, bye, here's your mom. That's the dad conversation.
So I guess it's worth asking Paul, right? How do you feel about the, because you've worked in the industry,
mm-hmm.
how do you feel about the amount that that servers are paid? And while you're giving your answer, I'll go refill our glasses.
That would be awesome.
Good idea.
Oh, yours too?
Well, yeah, thanks.
They're not worth $15 an hour. I'll throw that out.
I agree with that.
But they're also worth more than $2.30 an hour, even with tips that you have to. I don't know. See, I have a my view is complex because I worked in the restaurant industry where, you know, the waitresses did not have to share their tips. So I'm on the fence with that. So sometimes I think it's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's fair. You know, I spend my day making the cooks look good. So I got everything ready for them. They periodically would get tipped, and I'm just standing here going,
right.
You would look like a complete buffoon if
they
it weren't for me.
Yeah.
So it's like everything else, it's not cut and dry. Right. But anyway, like I said, they're not worth $2.50 an hour. They're not worth $15 an hour because,
I agree with that.
I've made public my McDonald's experience where all I wanted was ice cream in a cup and the guy couldn't even do it right. So I go in there and the guy's like, I just wanted, I told him, I said, the ice cream that you put in a cup, that you put in a cone, can I get that in a cup? And he's like, okay. So he comes back and he has four ice creams upside down in the plastic, you know, little carrying case thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, my kids still ate it, but I just remember getting out in the car and going,
he
would gladly take $15 an hour. And then about a month later, I go in, I run into McDonald's to get a McCafe or something for my mom. Different McDonald's. Same guy. All he did was put coffee and cream in a cup full of ice. Yeah. And because I'm like, get out of the car. I'm like, I hand it off to her. I'm like, it's the same guy. So, I don't know. It's a complex issue.
Well, it is. And then EMTs don't make $15 an hour.
No.
So you look at all the people that are working minimum wage or slightly above, and, mm-hmm. you know, who do we want to pay the $15? The guy at McDonald's that can't make ice cream or an EMT that's going to save your life? I mean,
well, I say at least give them minimum wage. Only because...
The servers. Yeah, I agree.
At least give the servers minimum wage.
So I looked it up. Because I can, you know, when I don't know something, mm-hmm. I immediately have to look it up.
Pornhub.
Thank God I have the internet in my front pocket.
Okay.
In most states, servers are paid a minimum of $230 something an hour. When they make $30 or more in tips per month. If in a single week they don't average out with that $230 something plus tips, if they don't average out in that week to be minimum wage, $7.30, mm-hmm. whatever it is, the restaurant has to make it up to them. So if I make that $235 an hour and then I get all my tips, and then we average it all up at the end of the week and it averages out to $6 an hour. Mm-hmm. The restaurant has to give me enough money to make it equal out. They have to give me another dollar or something.
That applies to chain restaurants. If you're a mom and pop type of organization.
You mean the kind that don't pay taxes?
Yes. You can do whatever the hell you want.
That's like slave labor.
I saw it. I saw it happen. But on the flip side of that, what it would irritate me is... now I have to be careful what I say because I have some friends who are waitresses and they're great people, and but that being said,
is that like I'm not racist? But
that's I'm not racist, but I'm not waitress.
I have a friend who's African American, and go ahead.
You're so progressive.
So you have friends who are waitresses
anyway, or they were waitresses in the past, yeah. And what would irritate me constantly is, okay, I go into work. I clock in. I get paid the same amount every hour that I'm working.
Yeah.
They will come in and they will complain about getting $230 something an hour.
Yeah.
But in that same night, they will make a couple of $100 in tips.
Yeah.
Okay. That they do not have to share with me, the busboys, the cooks, anybody. Regardless of how swamped we are. I mean, there were times when I mean, it looked like a cartoon. I was buried in dishes and whatnot. And there I am, getting the same amount of money. There they are, skimping on what they actually had to do for their job in a couple of cases. Like, because we had rules, and they would avoid them and just dump the shit on me and run. So I'm getting paid the same amount regardless. They're complaining about getting this amount of money, but they're making a bank in tips.
So this is for Tolan. Mm. Pay attention, Tolan. So I'm going to say what you've been thinking. You know how much I think they should get paid?
How much do you think they should get paid?
They should get paid however much the restaurant owner needs to pay them to get the quality of worker that they want. That's how much they should get paid.
That's a good answer. Because the thing is like, okay, say you go, this is why it's a complex issue. You get a job working at a restaurant where you sign a piece of paper that says you get paid $2.30 something an hour plus tips. Don't complain when you think you should get more without actually complaining and trying to get more.
I'm sure it was a fine restaurant.
It wasn't.
But the, what's it called?
It's not there.
The Roundup? What was it called? The Steak and Shake?
No, I worked at Western Inn. It's not here anymore.
I'm sure the Western Inn was a fine establishment.
At one time.
But if you want to make good money as a waitress, that's not where you go, right? You go to a nicer restaurant where the tips are higher, let's say. The owner of the restaurant where the tips are higher is looking for a higher quality server, right? Because the reason they're able to charge five times what Western Inn charged for a hunk of meat, A, they probably cook it better, but B, they have better service, right? And the only way they get better service is they get the servers who are serious about what they do and want to make more money.
A couple of them did do that.
If the government steps in and says, no, we got to pay everybody $15 an hour, well, shit, how do you get better waitresses? Because everybody makes the same amount, right? Mm-hmm. Might as well go to Western Inn where you don't have to be as good, right, or as conscientious. So the point is, however much the owner needs to pay to get the quality of waiter or waitress they want, or the dishwasher, or the cook, or the whatever, whatever that amount is, and guess how you figure out how much that is? The market figures it out. The market is just a whole bunch of restaurant owners going, let's see, well, I'm going to offer this and see what happens, and then somebody's going to come in and go, dude, they're paying $5 more an hour than that up the street. You go, oh, I guess I better offer $5 more an hour because I'm not getting the kind of people I want.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to work. But you get politicians on this is I'm repeating the argument I had with my dad. You get politicians on TV. And I acknowledge to my dad that he won the debate. If we're having the debate in front of a crowd, they would be applauding for him and booing me, and they would all be ready to vote for him because he kept going to the emotional side of things.
Yeah.
I kept going to the logical side of things. I would lose that debate every time because he's like, well, I mean, you got a family man. He's got kids. What are you going to tell the family? Well, you can tell the kids, sorry, kids, but I can't make enough money because that guy, you know, my opponent wants kids to starve because he doesn't want them making enough money to buy groceries at the Kroger's.
Who's with me? Well, you know, and my thing is, if you're not happy with what you're getting paid, negotiate a better price.
Paul, there are people that can't. Okay? There are people that can't do that. They don't have the ability to go do
they
that.
They don't know how to talk.
What are you going to do with those people? Just shoot them? Hitler did that. Nazis.
That escalated right away.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a good reenactment. This has been an amazing reenactment.
I think I walked the dog. I'm like, oh, the dog needs to go out.
Dog's like, no, I want to show this plays out.
Did Tolan say how I did? I want to know how I did.
He didn't.
He dropped off.
I hope he's still there.
He got bored. He's not there. We got one. You're the only one watching now.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, for those.
Well, here's what I have to do.
Hashtag Cousins just took our shirt off. Hashtag Paul and I are just going to sit here going, da-ma-ma-ma-ma. Suddenly we're both Jackie Gleason. I'm going to.
Gee, it's warm in here.
Hey, we're going to have you on the show every week.
Woo! You know, I mean, if Howard Stern can have women on his show being topless on the radio.
That's right.
Right.
You know, that's right. Why can't we?
Damn right.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. Candy, I laugh right at them. cracker. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. Boys like. Boys like me.
Hey, put in the feed that Cass isn't wearing any clothes.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I should.
Nobody's wearing any clothes.
Nobody. Well, I think that would turn people away if they thought I wasn't wearing clothes.
Steve, it's very brave of you to take your shirt off.
Yeah, brave. All right, for this next segment, I'm going to button up my shirt all the way. Hey, somebody just joined. Who joined? I'm going to turn my collar up.
Andy Wright.
All right, this is the 80s, special 80s version.
I don't own any of those shirts. I can't do that.
All right. I was watching Fox and Friends this morning.
Fox and Friends?
A phrase you will not often hear me say. But I am home for the holidays. And my dad is 80 years old. And I don't know if you knew this, but Fox and Friends is not the hardest hitting of news. They were just basically doing... how to make a turkey or something. I don't know. Oh, no, how to deal with your leftovers. That's what they were doing. They were cooking their leftovers. Ooh. And one of the guys on the show talked about how 80s he is. He's mm-hmm. just like, oh, look, I'm all 80s. I got this 80s thing and that 80s. And I'm like, the 80s is everything right now. Everything yes, is 80s. And I said during the 80s, when everything was the 60s mm-hmm. and 70s, mm-hmm. I was like, someday... everything's going to be the 80s. And I thought, maybe they'll skip right. this decade.
Well, I was just thinking, like, 80s is coming back, and all the good things about the 80s are coming back.
Which part?
Well, here's the biggest one. Interior decor. Mm. I love the 80s. But in the 80s, everybody loved Art Deco from the 20s.
Yeah.
So they took their own little spin on Art Deco. And now we're appreciating that. Love it. I love the soft pastels, love the colors. Anyway, but I don't know. There's just something nostalgic. Maybe it wasn't great, all of the 80s. I get that. But there's just that nostalgic reliving your childhood, you know, the kind of the freedom that came with it.
I was talking with my nephew-in-law. He's probably 27, maybe 28.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he liked Stranger Things. And, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about it. And, I said one of the things that's kind of cool right now is the 80s are right now the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And specifically the early 80s.
Yeah.
And Stranger Things is about kids who are about 12 or 13 years old in the early 80s. I was 12 or 13 years old in the early 80s. I don't see why this podcast is not the biggest thing right now. Because this is, we were there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you
we survived.
Millennials.
Yeah.
If you want to know what it was
there,
like.
Man.
I mean, and then it hit me as I was telling him this. And then I stopped talking. And I started to get depressed. Because I thought, back in the 80s, when the 60s were a big thing,
mm-hmm.
we weren't seeking out 40-some-year-old people who were coming of age in the 60s.
No.
Like to,
right.
Oh, tell me what it was really like.
Right.
We
right.
weren't doing that.
No.
We
right?
did want their concert t-shirts, though.
That's true. So yeah. they don't want us. They want our concert t-shirts.
Yes.
Do you have any Depeche Mode or The Cure?
Duran.
Yes, I do. They're yeah. in a box. They're
Those are actually...
Oh, yeah. In
now
excess,
might be the time.
Go on.
In excess, U2. I was lucky enough to see all those. But I also, at the same time... had my mom's Rolling Stones concert t-shirts, which I really wish I still had. They were original from like 1968.
I highly recommend selling them because they're never going to be any more popular than they are right now.
That's right.
Even Warren Zevon, who was not popular, his t-shirts right now, his concert t-shirts are ridiculous. And I let an ex-girlfriend of mine wear one of my shirts out of the house one day.
Uh-oh.
And she come back a couple of days later and basically goes, don't ever let me do that again. I'm like, why? She goes, because I looked it up on eBay. Like, okay.
Yeah, you have Leanne Tweeden. their name?
Hooter, yeah, Hooters cards.
Hooters
yeah.
cards.
Trading cards, yep.
You know who Leanne Tweeden is?
No.
She's the one that accused Al Franken.
Oh, yeah.
She's the one that allegedly has a picture of Al Franken, like, groping her breast.
Right.
Of Al Franken, allegedly Al Franken, allegedly doing this to her breast.
Well, he admitted to it, so there's no alleged. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Allegedly, I saw the photo.
Yeah.
The alleged photo.
Right, yeah.
But we don't get sued.
Once again, Strunken White is just exploding with.
Yeah. But she's the woman, and she used to work at Hooters, and apparently back in the day.
Yeah.
Hooters girls had baseball cards.
In the 90s, everything was a trading card.
Paul has the full set.
She's in about 10 of them because, I mean, honestly, I thought she was, you know, great looking.
Oh, she's beautiful.
But,
yeah.
Now you hate her because she went after somebody from your tribe, your political tribe.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call Al Franken from my tribe, but yes, but no. She's an opportunist. I don't hate her.
She's
so
an
much,
opportunist,
but I'm just, going,
just like those 14-year-old. They're not 14 anymore, but the ones that accused Roy Moore. So they're like the same. Like you put them in the same category, right?
Not so much. My thing is, I don't care either way.
I'm out.
I went.
You're out.
Bye.
I went on eBay after we got done recording. I went on eBay and I checked what they're going for, and I'm like, I'm going into my closet and digging them out and selling them damn things because, as I said, I will gladly donate whatever I make off of them to the Don't Panic Fund.
So I mean, if you made one of those stock graphs, right, of like, okay, their value,
mm-hmm.
right, it'd be flat line, almost zero,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost zero, almost zero, almost zero. About 3 weeks ago, they went up, 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 up.
I'm shocked. What?
In about 10 minutes.
You never would have.
In about 10 minutes, they're just going to fall off a cliff,
yep.
right? Now, your shirts, your concert shirts, they're not going to drop off a cliff.
Right.
But they're going to, who knows when the peak will be.
Yeah.
Exactly. You've probably got two or three more years
of
a peak.
Right.
But, well, even in my case, I'm selling off comic books that I bought in the 90s. For nothing, for decades, they had no increase in value. But every time a movie comes out, these books go up.
Yeah.
And I've sold them and then had, I'll sell them for a lot of money. And then like 2 months later, I'll go back and look at what they're worth. And I'm like,
you'll buy them back.
Well, I'm like, you know, you sell a book for $300. And then you go back 2 months later and it's worth 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you got to strike while the iron's hot.
Wow.
So, yeah, in the case of Leanne Tweeden's cards.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm digging them out.
Get going.
Yeah.
You know what else they did in the 80s?
Mm.
12 lots of blow.
I thought you said glow. I'm like, yeah, that was popular back then. Like the glamorous ladies of wrestling.
Lots of blow.
Yes.
12, 13-year-old boys. You know what they did in the 80s?
Mm.
Watched.
No. The ones that weren't getting laid?
You know what they did. They played D&D.
That's right.
Right? So instead of out getting laid, they were playing D&D, which is now super popular.
You stand a better chance now of being a gamer and getting laid than you did back when gaming was huge.
Between the time when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of. Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
When we last left, Sally, she was in the middle of some lesbian sex with Esmeralda, the barmaid, whilst Bertram the bugbear, who was bleeding out, decided it was more important to watch two girls have sex than to tend to his wounds.
Bertram.
I know, right? Well, as a friend of mine pointed out, he's like, you know, that's brilliant, though, because the blood's going to stop gushing out of his wound because he's...
Hey, I love a good boner joke.
All right. Anyway, so, well, okay, so now you were supposed to return to the city of Val. Yes. Under the...
Nasniv.
Yes, under the request of Nasniv, the Troll Slayer, who is king of all Valis now, by the way.
Okay.
You have no idea why you were just urged to return to Valis.
Right.
On your way, you stopped off on this little town to dry off your leg warmers and possibly...
Muddy.
Yes,
muddy
they were all muddy.
They were.
Possibly get some food and some sleep, and you ended up getting involved
sweet,
in
sweet
a...
Sweet love.
Sweet, sweet love with Phoebe Cates with elfin ears.
Named Esmeralda.
Named Esmeralda. While Bertram
name.
The butler
and
watched.
Bertram from Jesse watched. Okay.
Well, whilst you're in the middle of Warpway...
Wait, I thought we were...
You were in the process of getting it on.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Am I naked?
Well, no, because as you pointed out, you do your lesbian sex with your armor on.
That's true. That's right.
Like any good any good warrior.
Safe sex, right?
That's right.
Safe sex.
That's exactly
right.
What it is.
Wear my armor.
Whilst you're caught up in it all, and Bertram is watching, give me an intelligence roll. You need to get a over a 5 and under your intelligence.
10. I made it.
You notice from out of nowhere, Esmeralda has produced a dagger, and you assume...
Not the good kind.
Not the good kind of dagger. Not the kind that requires batteries or charges in D&D.
All right.
Charges.
It's a steam-powered marital aid.
That's right. Created by the dwarves. We're all into the steampunk. So... Upon noticing this deadly weapon that she's apparently pulled out of under the mattress.
All right.
What do you do?
I roll initiative, I think.
Okay. And that's a 10-sider.
That's 10-sider.
And the lowest 10. Number goes first. And like last time,
12.
Instead of rolling for each initiative, we'll just keep the same pace. That's a 10-sider.
All right. Got it. 1.
5. Mm. You go first.
Oh, so I got to get lower.
Yes, lower is better.
I attack with the one-handed bastard sword.
Which apparently you had on you at the time.
Which apparently I had on me at the time.
Yes.
Damage is for small to medium is 128 plus 1.
Well, you need your... her armor class is 8, so you take your Thaco, subtract 8 from it.
Oh, that's a D. That's not a 2.
Yes. Use the Thaco that's listed with the weapon.
17.
Yeah. Right. So you need to get minus... Okay, that's 17, but minus... Her armor class is 8, so you subtract 8 from 17.
So I got to get a 9.
Or higher.
9 or higher.
I don't do math.
Math is just...
Math,
that's right.
I just can't...
But you are aware that dice does have numbers on it, right?
We could say you need to get a fruit or higher.
All listeners, I'm kidding.
Can you believe I got a 5? For crying out loud.
Well, you know, it's...
Dang, nabbit.
Confined quarters and a lot of...
So I stabbed the mattress.
You stabbed the mattress for...
Even though I'm laying on top... But the other way around,
yeah.
Laying on top of this woman with my feet at the head of the bed and my face at the foot of the bed. We all know why.
We all.
I get a sword.
Yeah. Well,
I guess,
you know, you
her feet are probably up in the air, so I got probably her feet are like
you
up
were
there
distracted and... by her alluring leg warmers.
Yes. All right, go ahead.
All right. So then she decides to try to stab you. And what is your armor class?
3.
Ooh, she hits you.
Ah.
But it's only a dagger, which is a measly 1d4 points damage.
Do I roll it or do you roll
it? I roll it. You take 3 points damage.
Hate
so
this
like
game.
Shoots and ladders?
I don't know why I play this. Shoots and ladders.
Well, that doesn't require math.
That's true.
No, wait, that's Candyland. Candyland's colors and then... Okay.
She eats, shoots, and ladders. Where does the comma go? All right, what's next?
Your attack.
I attack again. Mm-hmm. I roll the 20-sider again.
Mm-hmm.
20!
Woohoo! That's double damage.
Yes.
So
nice.
18 damage. I bet I killed her.
Yes. You stabbed her 20 good.
Squat I stabbed her where Trump would have grabbed her. Boom.
That needs to be on a shirt with a 20 sign. on a 20. That's what it should say. There's our don't panic swag right there.
Bumper sticker.
That's right. Oh.
Right on, man. Now, what's Bertram doing?
Well, he's suddenly...
interested.
Yeah, he's suddenly he's like, you know, he's obviously upset that his woman is now dead. So he jumps up and attempts to attack you, which makes it a new initiative round.
Hey, Jesse! Mm. I think that's 7.
I have a 3, so Bertram goes first.
Damn it.
Bertram charges you...
with a spatula.
With his spatula.
Or a dust, one of those dust
things. He's got the dust mouth. He misses.
Nice.
He's too caught up in the fact that his woman is now dead, because where's a bugbear going to find a, you know, Phoebe Cates with pointed ears girlfriend ever again?
True.
So it is now your turn.
18.
Boom.
Boom, baby. So 1D. Oh, he's large though, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, 5.
5.
How do you get a 4 on a 12-sider?
Because you rolled it. Well, he's pretty jacked up, dude. All right, so he comes at you.
You get how this works, don't you?
Okay. He attacks you, but he rolls a 1, which means he drops his weapon.
Dude! Bertram dropped his feather duster.
Yeah. That means he's pretty much flat-footed, so his armor class bonus, which he doesn't have, is gone, so it's your attack.
19.
Ooh. That is also a hit.
12 plus 1. 4.
Well, that's enough.
Oh.
Bertram is now an ex-bugbear. He is a...
You're working your way through the inn.
Who's going to tell Jesse?
Zuri is going to be really upset.
She likes Bertram.
Who's going to make pancakes?
They have a friendly banter where they pick on each other, but I think she really likes him.
Yes.
I'm going to have to kill her now.
Okay, so now you're standing in a room with a dead elf and a dead bugbear.
Yeah. Well, I look around the room.
Okay, give me an intelligence check.
Yes. 6. Made it.
As you're looking around the aftermath of the fray, you can't help but notice that Esmeralda's oh-so-sexy leg warmers don't appear to be made out of just common cotton.
I take them.
As you peel them off of her shapely yet dead legs.
Are they blood-soaked?
No. You do notice that they appear to be made out of some sort of very light, well-crafted metal.
Ah, well, I'm going to keep them for myself.
Okay. You put them on?
Yes.
All right. Well, as the Karza's Living in Stereo comes on, as you're rolling them seductively up your legs, you suddenly... I'll meta here.
Meta.
They are +2 leg warmers of protection.
Yes.
Which is why it was so hard to hit her. What that does is that then... That even though it's plus, that lowers your armor class by 2. As long as you have them on.
I
need
a 1.
Yeah.
Holy smokes, dude.
Which means they have to have a really good Thaco to hit you, or they can't hit you at all.
They shouldn't even try to sweep the leg.
Mm. Well, it covers the whole body because it's a magical aura.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
See, he's got an answer for all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that you've rolled them up your legs, and
I look around the room again.
There's blood and body parts everywhere. Okay, so now that you have dispatched with Esmeralda and her bugbear boyfriend, what do you do?
I leave the room.
All right, so you head down.
I go down, back into the inn.
Okay.
You know what? I'm just going to leave my leg warmers there. I'm not going to... So I'm going to cross that out.
When you get down to the bottom of the stairs, you notice that the tap room is cleared out except for the bartender.
Ah, well, I leave.
Well, that ruckus was something else.
I leave the bar altogether.
Well, as you're on your way out, the bartender asks you how it went up there.
I tell the bartender that they tried to kill me, so I killed them.
He looked shocked, and he actually, remember he's got the eye patch?
Oh, yeah.
He pulls the eye patch up, and you notice he has two good eyes. Mm. And he's like, you killed Bertram?
I killed both of them, Bertram and Esmeralda.
Well, he reaches over and he pours a big old tankard of ale and sets it down in front of you and thanks you for killing Bertram. Mm. He says, Bertram and his band of goblins have been terrorizing the village for several months now.
Oh.
Once word gets out that you've killed Bertram, the gargoyles will likely scatter into the foothills. Because they're the cowards, goblins. The goblins will scatter.
You have gargoyles on the mind.
Because of that.
Because of that gargoyle right there.
Dietrich.
Dietrich.
He has a history. He tells you that the goblins will likely scatter into the foothills, and you've effectively saved us from their tirades.
You're welcome.
But then he looks at you and he's like, you look like you've seen better days. You got a pretty good couple pretty good hacks and cuts there.
Well, is there a doctor in town? Can I have a bed? Everything seems safe here now. Can I have some food? A bed? A doctor? Maybe heterosexual sex this time? With somebody who's not going to try to stab me?
Well, he tells
a
you...
A doctor?
It's not a lot to ask,
it's
is
like
it?
Grey's Anatomy. Dr.
McDreamy.
Yes, yeah.
Is Dr. McDreamy here?
No, he tells you that your best bet is to seek Cassandra, who lives on the edge of town. She is an
more lesbians.
Yes. She is an alchemist and can most likely heal your wounds.
Mm. All right, I drink the ale. Uh-huh. I lift my bikini top to show this guy my boobs.
He doesn't charge you. He gives you a necklace of beads.
I was just going to say, you get some beads for that.
Let me write that down. Necklace
That's
of
right.
beads.
Necklace of useless beads.
And I head on over to Cassandra's pad.
Okay. Well, you find Cassandra's hut on the edge of town. It's just a small stone building. You know, she's got a couple of goats sitting in a pen. And,
I love goats.
You know, I know you do. And did you hear Gary the goat died?
I don't know who Gary the goat is.
I figured you'd know who he was because you like goats.
Yep, that cunt.
I know you wanted to say that word at some point. Was that the best time to say it?
He was.
Okay.
His owner called him that.
All right, anyway.
Because I like goats doesn't mean I know about every goat in the world. It's like somebody goes, I love metal. And they're like, hey, do you know about, poison pinprick out of Seattle? It's like, no, I thought you said you like metal.
But all of Gary's buddies have human names. It was great. Like mm-hmm. Paul. Wasn't there a Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How do you guys know about this guy? And I didn't know about him.
Great. And he ran. He ran.
Oh, he sure could run.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm the only person in the world that doesn't know about Gary the goat, apparently.
All right, so you arrive at Cassandra's, what you assume is Cassandra's hut.
Andy, did you know about Gary the goat? Keep talking.
We'll wait.
We don't have to wait.
He says, trail of death and destruction and flashy fashion sense.
That's
probably
Gary?
Talking about...
No.
He's talking about Sally.
Talking about the leg warmers.
Yes.
He's already working on the novel about Sally.
Which, you know what's so funny about that? I don't think people understand how important to fashion, particularly workout fashion, leg warmers were in the 80s.
Yeah.
All a woman needed in the 80s for me was leg warmers.
That's right.
She could be wearing anything else.
Yep.
She could be wearing... one of those deep sea diver suits.
With a big helmet.
Like that Cuba Gooding Jr. had to wear. Hell, I don't know why anybody want to be a Navy diver.
What is it about leg warmers?
Radio.
And she could have a leg warmer on. I'd be like, oh, that looks good. I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing as like thigh high stockings or something. I was thinking this when we were watching that show earlier where the hostess
mm-hmm.
had the, like just over the knee stockings.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she was wearing shorts.
And yeah.
I don't even know if she was wearing shoes. I have no idea. But I was thinking she could be sitting there wearing shorts and flip-flops. And I'd just be like, it's a woman with shorts and flip-flops. But if she covers up, like wears some sort of stocking that comes just past her knee, suddenly I'm like, ooh, thighs. And it's like, wait, she's showing less skin than if she was just wearing shorts and flip-flops. But somehow it's sexier. How does that work? What's going on there?
You're preaching to the choir.
It's like the leg warmer. It's like she's covering up skin. How is it sexier? I'm with you.
Because
I have no idea.
It's a phenomenon.
All I know is now that the 80s are back, I could probably get you some leg warmers.
I'm not sure where I'm going to wear them, but...
Around your legs.
Is that where they go?
Yes.
Definition. I know exactly where you're going to wear them. Oh, I don't know where. It's not where you're going to wear them. It's with
when,
whom you're going to wear them.
Well, she can wear them on the next live or cast.
Around right. Whom you're going to wear them. Whom?
It's my workout class.
Yeah. It's suddenly flash dance.
Yeah. I'll have that band on. Everybody's going to stop and look at me while I'm like...
jumping up and down.
Well, we got to get some of that red one.
They'll be like, mouth agape. What is she doing? They're all millennials and they have no clue. What?
Girl, I think you got the devil in you.
No, it's leg warmers.
All right, whatever's next.
Okay, so you arrive at Cassandra's hut.
This is, by the way, this is kind of how it went.
Yeah, this is exactly how it went. Except there'd be like an episode issue of Easy Rider laying out somewhere.
Well, not if we're at Krieger in the...
Oh, well, no.
We're middle school in a classroom during lunch period.
Yeah.
It still went like this, only we toned it down a little because we didn't want Mr. Bass coming in and busting us.
Because Mr. Bass is an ass.
Yes.
Here's what Andy says. I did not know about the goat.
Thank you.
I know very little about goats.
All right, what happens next?
Well, you arrive at her front door. What do you do?
Cassandra's front door?
Yes. You assume it's Cassandra's.
What, there's not a sign that says...
Cassandra's?
Cassandra's?
No.
A knock.
The door is covered with a curtain, and it parts...
A beaded curtain?
No, like a
batik curtain.
Something batik like curtain. Animal skin.
Like a beaded taxi driver seat cover.
Like a hide of some variety.
Yeah.
And... You can't help but notice that, once again, well, meta, you can't help but notice that this person, who you assume is Cassandra, looks a lot like the witch from Conan the Barbarian.
Well, the fact that you said, who I assume is Cassandra, I'm just going to go ahead and assume it's not Cassandra.
Okay.
Although, if I recall correctly, that witch was hot until he had sex with her and she turned into a demon woman.
A ball of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Which... I've had that experience. I have that same effect on women. It's like, girl, you got the devil in you? And they're just going, they do that thing like in movies where their head's going back and forth, but it's blurry. I'm like, that's not sexy. I don't know why you're doing that. But she can't help herself.
That's right. She can't help it.
Wow.
The girl can't help it.
You remember before we had kids?
Yes, BC, 4 children.
I ask if she is Cassandra, healer of wounds.
Her answer is step inside.
Wants to know.
I ask step inside.
You step inside.
My armor class is like down to 1.
That's
so
right.
I mean, I'll step inside. That's of course, right. I'll step inside. Attack me, bitch. Come at me. You want some of this?
Sweep this leg.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very small hut. You notice there's stuff. There's there's jars of body parts. There's pieces of God knows what hanging from the ceiling. There's the smell of various herbs burning. There's a fire in the fireplace, which you don't want to get near because we know how that worked for Conan. She walks over to her various vials and whatnot,
yeah.
And she mixes together a bunch of different things. And as she mixes it together, she keeps looking at you over her shoulder. And she turns and she hands you a chalice, like a plain tin chalice. And it's like got, like, you know, the dry ice, you know, fumes coming off of it. And she tells you to drink this.
You just want me, you wouldn't even answer when I asked if you were Cassandra. Now you want me to drink this? You take a sip first.
She says, this will heal your wounds before you bleed out.
Oh, I can tell you want me to take a sip of it. All right, so I go ahead and take a sip of it.
Okay.
Roll my what? What do you want me to roll? My constitution?
You're not rolling anything.
I suddenly have explosive diarrhea.
That's right. Like you drank the water. I mean, like, Tijuana.
Does this have sorbitol in it?
Because I get the hives.
Because I get the hives and the shingles.
That's right.
And explosive diarrhea.
The shingles.
That's the lesser popular... That's the lesser popular Swedish rock band.
Is there a band? Yeah, is there a band called The Shingles?
The Shingles.
How many dice are you going to roll?
Jesus. You drink it down and you are fully healed.
Excellent. I'm glad I made that decision.
You blew way past.
I'm glad I made that decision to drink that stuff. All right, well, I give her a big full-on kiss on the lips.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, you know, horny lesbian fighter. Horny Sally, the horny lesbian level 2 fighter. No, I don't do that. I'm just kidding. I can tell by your reaction. You really don't want me to do that, Cassandra? So I'm not going to move in. Oh. I was going to do that thing where I move in, turn my head.
And she like, leads back like, whoa.
Turn my head slightly like that. She's like, whoa. I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought we
misread the signal.
Maybe it's the potion, you know, my head, a little
it's
light.
It's the potion talking.
It's a potion trying to kiss. Which, by the way, I want to go on record. I don't care how drunk a man is. If a woman doesn't want to kiss, he has no excuse. He cannot use alcohol as an excuse for moving in if she doesn't want it.
That's right.
This public service announcement brought to you by the Don't Panic Radio Show.
Unless she's also wasted.
That's right. Then right. It's a whole
okay,
different
then
story.
What happens?
All right.
I
That's
thank
a
her.
Disclaimer. Anyway, go ahead.
I thank her and I ask her how much I owe her.
She says you don't owe her anything monetarily.
I'm like the pizza delivery guy.
That's right. Who was also Dr. McDreamy in Pizza Boy.
Yes. Well, I inform her that Bertram is now dead and that I killed him and that I'm capable of many feats. What is it she... Oh, and I also tell her that I'm the first man to satisfy Esmeralda since... Bertram took over this fair town. So I have many skills. I have very particular skills.
You're the first man.
Did she I say man?
Yes. She checks out your chainmail bikini and she's like,
I meant whoa man.
Whoa man.
Sally knows no gender. Sally just... So I'm the first woman to satisfy... Well, I'm the first anything. Human, troll, whatever... Anyway, what would you like me to do?
Well, she tells you that it's she feels kind of bad now because the potion that she gave you was also poisoned.
Oops. Bitch, please. It's like chemotherapy. Big Pharma. You're Big Pharma, aren't you?
She tells you that a couple of miles from here, there is a small cave entrance. Inside of said cave, you will find glowing mushrooms. I need you to go there, bring back a bag full of these glowing mushrooms. I will give you the remedy for said poison. Or by this time tomorrow, you will perish.
I say, okay, I'm going to go get the mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go get the glow-in-the-dark mushrooms. Cassandra. But I just want to say, and I'm not telling you how to do your job, okay? But if you're going to have shit for people to drink that heals them, in your little shop here. And again, you've been doing this longer than I have. Not telling you your business, but you might want to have the antidote to the shit that poisons them on hand and not make them go get it. I mean, it'd be like if I go to CVS to get my prescription and they're like, hey, here's your antibiotics to cure your cold. You got to take one right now. Okay. Hey, now you got to go to Walgreens or you're going to die. Right? And Walgreens is clear across town.
Well, she asks you, what is this CVS and Walgreens?
Are they
magic users that I do not know of?
Yeah.
Yes.
They are magic users you don't know of who got their shit together. Again, not trying to tell you how to do your business, but they wouldn't poison me and then go, oh, and by the way, this shit that I just gave you that I always give people to heal them, and then I always send them across town to the other place to get some mushrooms.
Maybe that is just like Big Pharma.
It is like Big Pharma.
It's exactly like Big Pharma.
She's big. Her name. Your name's not Cassandra. Your name's Big Pharma.
It's Velasian for Big Pharma.
But having said that, I am gonna go get the mushrooms. Now, where are they again?
She tells you, several miles to the south of here, along the foothills, okay. You will come to a small cave entrance. Within that cave, deeper into that cave, you will find the glowing mushroom.
I'm going to go find the damn glowing mushroom. I'll go there.
Okay.
I'll go to there. Right. And I'm going to come back, and then I'm going to file a report with the Better Business Bureau and the State Board of Health and Obamacare.
the only name so far that sounds like it should be in this game.
Oh, mighty Obamacare. All right, I'm going to go find the... First of all, can I trouble you to retrieve us a couple of old styles?
Yes.
All right.
Just two?
Do I have to roll a dice?
No. All
right. That is pretty much how it went back in the day, isn't it? We'd do a little D&D, T&D. Then we would glom onto something and do like a 10-minute comedy sketch.
Yes. Yes.
On that one thing.
Yep. Yep. And the DM would roll for the sake of humor. Like, yeah. Save versus humor.
And then at some point we'd be like, okay, I guess we better get back to the game. And then the bell would ring.
Yes.
Yeah. Well... you know who my brother's favorite character was in Stranger Things? Did you see his comment?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Mr. Clark, the science teacher.
That's right. Who somehow manages to get the hot Asian girlfriend. Did you notice that? It's like, he's on a date with this, like, hot Asian girlfriend. It's like...
Before the internet.
Yeah, before the internet. How did that happen?
Catalog. They still had it. If you went to the back of the catalogs... I don't know which catalogs.
I didn't get those catalogs.
Okay, now we're going to use a tried and true technique from my improv days. And we're going to have Constance give a suggestion for how we're going to end this. We'll do about 5 minutes on that suggestion, and then we'll wrap it up. So, Constance, favorite 80s movie? Or not even favorite, just an 80s movie.
Pretty in Pink.
That's one of the... You know, when it comes to the Brat Pack movies, love Breakfast Club.
I hated it.
You hated it?
Yeah.
I love Breakfast Club, especially that song at the end. He goes, Jed, yes. What's his name?
Nelson.
Mm-hmm. I loved Breakfast Club. I just loved it. I loved the theme of it. Mm-hmm. I thought Ally Sheedy was super hot.
Oh, she was very much so.
Especially... when they put the makeup on her. She was ugly before, and then the makeup...
Yeah, that's right.
I thought she was hot before the makeup.
Even with all the dandruff.
The makeup was not as... It's kind of like all those movies, like the girl, she'd have... They made fun of this in Not Another Teen Movie. Like,
yes. Oh, my God, she's wearing glasses and like, coveralls.
Look at that ugly nerd. Oh, my God, she's hot!
That's right. But, meanwhile, her dad's calling her pumpkin tits.
But I never saw Pretty in Pink.
Really?
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's very entertaining.
We got to watch it.
I don't think I ever saw St. Elmo's Fire either.
That's a good one.
So,
Top Gun.
Of the Brat Pack. That's not one of the Brat Pack
movies. No, I'm just saying.
What's Pretty in Pink? How does that go? Does that have Molly Ringwald?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is the Molly Ringwald.
Does it have the guy with three names?
It has, no, it has, what's his face? The,
Ducky.
Anthony Michael Hall.
And Harry Dean Stanton plays her dad.
And three names. What's his name from Boston Legal and Blacklist? Oh, holy cow.
James Spader.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he plays a, he's great in that movie. Yeah. He plays a great character.
He's his James Spader.
Yes.
He's that as James Spader.
He's so great in that movie. Yeah. Oh my God.
We saw him. We were in Chicago. We saw him at a little cafe called the Melrose.
Yep.
And just down from the alley. And Constance is going, "That's James Spader." And I'm like, "Who's James Spader?" She's like, "You know, he was in all those movies." And she did 8 movies I've never seen. At that point, I'm like,
well, because we were busy watching Red Dawn and Kentucky Fried Movie and
Cat People
and any of the Monty Python movies.
This is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so good.
And, the Goldbergs. Mm. When they were... I don't know if you've seen this episode, but when they were fighting over the TV remote and then they freeze, I knew when I saw the looks on their faces, I knew what had happened. And they pan around and the TV's all scrambled. Yep. They're like, scrambled boobs.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we were.
So the 80s are great. Come on. You guys were like, what's so good about the 80s? We just named 10 things that were great about the 80s. Come on.
Scrambled boobs was not great.
Well, no, that was probably a frustrating
It felt part, great because we didn't have anything else.
Yes.
But that's like saying, like, you know, that dirty, stinky, putrid water was great.
Well,
that time we were in that dungeon.
When we were really thirsty.
When we were arrested by the North Koreans.
Great movies. Come on.
So your favorite 80s movie?
Red Dawn.
Wolverines.
How many times?
Red Dawn's a great movie. We just watched that a few weeks ago.
That's a crazy movie. It is such a fucking good movie.
If you compare that to the remake, which was an atrocity, they don't, I mean, the original is insane what goes on in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the remake's just kind of like, nothing really weird goes on.
No.
You know? Thank you for watching live, Andy.
Hey, we Paul, what's your favorite movie from the 80s?
We both forgot to ask Paul.
Well, this isn't my show.
But I already know what it is.
And what is it?
Oh, you already knew mine, too, so that's irrelevant. Hey, Paul, what's your favorite movie from the 80s?
What do you think it is?
Putting out fire with gasoline.
Yes. I will say either Cat People or Extreme Prejudice, but yes. Cat People is my favorite movie of all, one of my favorite movies of all time, so yes.
Ooh, I haven't seen that.
Oh my God. How?
Guess what we're doing?
I have failed as your husband's best friend.
you're his best friend-in-law, and you haven't seen it.
Yeah, guess what we're doing after the show.
Yeah, why haven't I seen that?
Oh, in that case... I think that's about all we got.
That's all there is and there ain't no more.
Thanks to those of you that caught the live show and to people who watched the recording later.
Oh, Andy just put a big comment on there.
And everyone look up Gary the Goat.
Yes.
What did Andy say?
What is it? Justice for Gary.
Justice for Gary.
She looks so much better before the makeover in Breakfast Club. I'm always a little sad when she comes back and made all normal. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Completely I agree.
Yep. Be goth, be dark, be yourself.
Don't you put on makeup. All right, for Paul Schultz, for Constance Vinson, for Andy Wright, Scott Tolan, and that one girl I don't know that was on our live stream for a little while.
Lori Woodruff Cox.
She would have what?
Lori Woodruff Cox.
Yeah, Cox. She does. Cox. I'm Steve Vinson. Don't you forget... Nothing you just heard was true.
Cox.
Good night.
Vaya con Dios.
I had to turn this thing off.
That's right.
Like every 80s movie had a dad
with the video recording.
Is this thing still on?
You have pants on, though. That's the problem.
Is this still on? How do you turn this off? Is this the button? Hit the button. Marge, how do you turn this thing off?
sits there for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long. Feel my blood enraged. It's just the fear of losing you. Don't you know my name? Well, you've been so long. And I've been putting out fire.
Got Oh, bullshit.